I would like to welcome you to another edition of The More Abundant Life, a radio broadcast which features inspiring messages by Pastor Wendley Phipps. My name is Adrian Westney Jr. I'm your host for The More Abundant Life, and today we will continue a message. We will call it part two of the message entitled Fighting the Good Fight. We did not get to finish all of this message in a previous broadcast, so we're bringing it to you again, since the message has some very important stuff in it, if you'll allow me to use that word. So today we'll hear again part two of the message, Fighting the Good Fight, here on The More Abundant Life. Please stay with us. Just before the message, here is some special music.
A bomb in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a bomb in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. There is a bomb in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a bomb in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. Sometimes I feel discouraged and think my work's in vain. But then the Holy Spirit revives my soul again. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. If you can preach like Peter, you can pray like Paul, then you can tell the whole world he died to save us all. There is a bomb in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. There is a balm to heal the sin-sick soul.
Whatever it is, the Bible tells us that your only defense is to submit to God, resist the devil, and run. Amen? Your only defense in this war, in this fight, is to submit to God. First, do what? Submit to God. Do what else? Resist the devil. That means you got to fight him. You got to resist. You got to struggle. Amen. You got to say, no, 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 I'm not. No, I can't do this. No, sister, leave me alone. Brother, don't call me no more. You've got to fight. You've got to resist. And then you've got to run. Your life depends on it. You see, if a man submits and doesn't fight, so the three things you got to do is submit, resist, and run. Say it with me. Submit, resist, and run. If you submit and don't run, you're in trouble. If you submit and don't resist, you're in trouble. If a man fights without first submitting to God, he will lose the fight because he'll not put himself under God's discipline. You won't get God's power if you try to fight before you submit. Help me, Jesus. As a matter of fact, you won't even run good if you don't submit. Am I telling the truth this morning? Unless you submit to Christ, you will not flee from temptation. The word of the writer of the letter to the Hebrews is that in this fight, you haven't really been fighting until it cost you something. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 4. What book did I say? Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, chapter 12. In the King James Version, it says, you have not yet what? Resisted until what? Say it again. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Let me read it to you from one of my favorite versions. Hebrews 12, verse 4. After all, you have not yet given your lives in your struggle against sin. In other words, in this fight, you got to be so serious. Thank you, Jesus. You got to be so serious that when you leave a habit, you got to burn bridges. Lord help me. When you leave a secret sin, you got to burn bridges. I said you got to burn bridges. You have to put yourself under the control of Jesus and act under his orders. And until you do that, you've not really yet resisted unto blood. You got to resist unto blood. You got to give it everything in this fight. In this fight, the only path to triumph and victory is through blood. Brothers and sisters, everybody in this church is in the fight of their lives. Turn to that person next to you and say, you're in the fight of your life. You're in, yeah, touch that person. If they're nodding, sleeping, wake them up. Say, brother, you better wake up. You are in the fight of your life. How many of you know you're in the fight of your life? Fighting your own private battles every hour, every moment of your life. That's why Paul says, I charge you, Timothy, fight a good fight. This is a good fight. Amen. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. There's got to be conflict before victory. Remember, it is when you're alone, battling with that sin that easily besets you, that the fight is the most fierce. How many know that I'm telling the truth? It's when you are by, you don't fight fierce battles in crowds. You don't really fight the fierce battles when you come to church. No, 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 no. You fight those fierce battles with self when you're sitting in front of that table about to eat. Help me, Jesus. Those fierce battles, you fight them when you're sitting in front of that movie place about to go see something that you know God is not going to send his angel to go in with you. Help me, Jesus. Anywhere else on this battlefield, in this fight, you can't serve two masters. Aesop fables. In one of his fables about a time when the beast and the fowls were engaged in war, talks about the bat who tried to be on both sides and belong to both parties. So when the birds were victorious, the bat would fly around with them telling them he was a bird. When the beasts won a fight, he would walk around them assuring them that he was a beast. But soon his hypocrisy was discovered and he was rejected by both the beasts and the birds. He had to hide himself, and that's why he only comes out by night. But what I'm saying to you today is, in this fight, you can't be on both sides. You have to choose sides. Someone said, it is not the size of a dog in a fight that is significant. It is the size of the fight in the dog. You got to have a fight in you. You're fighting for your soul salvation. Amen? Yes, the devil is strong in you. Rebellion is in your blood. But you've got to fight if you're going to be victorious. In this fight, there are times when you're outnumbered. Does it seem like everyone is against you sometimes? Don't worry. You praise the Lord. Let God fight your battles. He has a way of solving your problems when you praise him, somebody said. To fight in this battle, Paul says we're going to have to lay aside every weight. Now, I want you to turn with me to the book of Hebrews again. The book of Hebrews, chapter 12. I'm going to show you how the Lord wants us to fight this battle. If you have a Bible, turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, and look at verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded, we are what? Surrounded by a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that allows us, that slows us down. Strip off every weight that slows us down. Strip off every weight that slows us down. Especially the sin that so easily hinders your progress. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. Now I can tell you something about a cloud of witnesses. See, when I was growing up in Montreal, Canada, I used to run track. And I was a pretty good track runner. And I had a pair of special track cleats, little spikes at the bottom. And it seemed like anytime I put on those cleats, I'd win the race. So they were some special cleats. When I dug in, it stayed right where it was and propelled me forward. I could run. Well, I got down to Oakwood College. If you think you're pretty good in your home church, whether you sing or run or whatever you do, when you hit Oakwood, you're in for a rude awakening. And they had a special day where we all were out doing track and field. So it was my chance to show off my special cleats. So when it came time for the 100-yard dash, I pulled out my special cleats and I put them on and I was getting ready. I was in the Olympics that day in front of a cloud of witnesses from the dorms. All my peers and my friends. We got down on the mark. The gun was fired, I took off, and instantly I knew I was in trouble. Because I was running on asphalt with my cleats. Whenever I dug in, it stayed in. I was trying to pull the whole track with me every step I took. I came in last, and I'm still ribbed about that from my friends at Alumni Weekend, who remind me of the race that I lost in front of a cloud of witnesses. Well, I want you to know the Bible says that we ought to what? Come on now. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, verse 2. It tells us that we are to what? Lay aside every weight that so what? Easily besets us. And I like the way it says it here. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down. Sometimes you got to get rid of those favorite cleats. Amen? Especially the sin that so easily hinders your progress so you can run with endurance the race that God has set before you. Somebody here has got a secret sin, and it's like digging into asphalt. You're not going very far in your Christian life because you're hanging on to your secret favorite sin. It's slowing you down. You're not winning the race. Lord, let's finish this text. Let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. In verse 2, how do we do this? We do this by what? Looking unto Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus, on whom your faith depends. How can I say this? Lord, help me to explain this. Life is full of risk. Living and fighting this battle is full of danger. Looking to Jesus is the only risk management that counts, that works. You want some risk management? Look to Jesus, because victories can be lost in moments. How many of you know that? Now, before I close, I want to tell you, watch your body. You know, the kids used to sing, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. The body is an open door to temptation. The only protection you have is looking to Jesus. Your body has a way of keeping up with everything that's hip, all by itself. It'll stay in tune with sensual pleasures. All by itself. It's always calibrated. You're not listening to me. It's always calibrated to check in and connect with worldliness. That's how you're made. Your body is carnal. Your eyes, your ears, your hands. You automatically connect to evil. And it stores up stuff in your memory, in your heart, in your mind. And all it needs is a match. It's like an explosive. And it'll go up. But Paul says, this fight, how many of you know it's a fight? How many of you are in a fight? With yourself, with the flesh. Hey, preachers are in a fight. We're not exempt. We're human beings. We're in a fight. All of us have some point of contact with the devil that is full of peril. What is that point for you? What is that point for you? Are you gaining or losing the fight there? Are you overcoming your weaknesses? Or are you being overcome by them constantly? Yes, you ought to thank God for your strong points, but it's not your strong points that are going to bring you down. It's those weak areas. God says you're telling the truth. Where are you especially vulnerable? At that place, are you really keeping the enemy out? Somebody has a problem with soap operas. And you may have to literally turn that television to the wall. Help me, Jesus. Somebody has a problem with liquor. You think it's only social drinking, but you've got a problem with liquor. You're going to have to take some heroic action if you're going to fight the good fight. Like that man that gave up drinking and would go down to the town with his horse, and he would always hitch his horse the same place in front of the saloon. He'd been doing that for 10, 15 years, and when he gave up liquor, he'd go back to town, he'd still hitch his horse. One wise man came up to him and said, "Brother, I'm glad that you gave up drinking, but let me give you some advice. Find a different hitching post." Sometimes you have to take some heroic action in your fight. Now I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me. What are you fighting for? You're fighting for a crown. Lord Jesus, you're fighting for eternity. You're fighting to see Jesus.
That brings us to the end of the message for today, the message part two of the title, Fighting the Good Fight. I do hope you enjoyed the message today. I hope that it's presented something that is good for your life right now, and I'm sure it did. I would like to thank Pastor Phipps for that message, and if you would like to obtain a copy of today's message, please call the Seabrook Church office at 301-577-6342. That's 301-577-6342. Today you will want to ask for program number 151. That's program number 151. Also, if you would like to visit the Seabrook Church in person, the address is 8900 Goodluck Road in Lanham, Maryland, which is in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Directions to the church may be obtained by calling the church office. Again, the phone number there is 301-577-6342. Worship services are held each Saturday morning at 8:15 a.m. and again at 11 a.m. Well, until next time, this is Adrian Westney Jr. I do hope that you enjoyed our program today, and as always, I wish you God's richest blessings. Please join us again next week for another program, but until then, remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, "I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life." May God bless you.
Give what's in your heart.